Well, part of the new year sporting format and calendar, of course, is the Australian Open. It gets underway Jan 17 at Melbourne Park. And the news is that Andy Murray, of course, has been granted a wild card to return to Melbourne Park. Well, he's had a number of injuries, has Andy Murray. And so is our next guest, albeit he's a tennis high-performance coach. He's coming out of surgery a couple of days ago with a bit of a hip complaint. Mark Sifoulis has been kind enough to join us on Dwayne's World to talk things, all things tennis. How's the recovery going a couple of days on, Mark? Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Tim. It's definitely painful. I can see what Andy Murray went through for a little while there, and it's pretty similar surgery to what he's had. So, yeah, just recovering at home, got the painkillers, and I've got the little kids running around. So it's quite enjoyable, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we know that Andy Murray also had that serious hip injury, and it certainly had him on the verge of retirement. Just from an outsider looking in, and again, you've been through some surgery, and you've still got a road to recovery with that. Are you confident that Andy Murray can find maybe that world number one form and a five-time Australian Open runner-up?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Andy's obviously, you know, a champion of our game, and we'd love to see him get back to the heights that he probably reached a few years ago. But I think it's almost passing his best tennis, and it looks like, you know, he'll be able to compete at a certain level. But the best of five set format really will challenge him, and obviously playing the likes of, you know, maybe Novak Djokovic, depending if he does play the tournament, those sort of players across that five set period are probably a little bit too strong for him at this stage. I think he'll still compete pretty well, as Andy always does, but his best tennis might be a little behind him.
Double vaxxed, not vaxxed, single vaxxed, is vaxxed, not telling on when he's vaxxed, Novak Djokovic. What sort of reception will he get, do you think, from the tennis community when he gets to Melbourne?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I can't fathom how he still hasn't, I guess, said what he is, where he's at. And look, if he does come into the country, he's either double vaxxed or he's got an exemption. And that's the only two things I can see him getting into the country for. Look, I think the Australian public, especially the ones in Melbourne who have gone through a hell of a time the last 2 years, will probably be a little bit, I guess, sceptical of the whole situation and not really wanting anyone unvaccinated to be playing the event. And obviously, especially when our public needs to be double vaxxed to get into the Australian Open, it's going to be quite an interesting scenario. I'm not sure where it sits, and I know Craig Tiley's in the same boat. I think it's a really, really interesting one and one space that we've got to watch pretty closely. But if he does play, he's obviously going for a 10th Australian Open, which is obviously a massive feat in itself. And obviously, to achieve the 21st Grand Slam, and he will lead both Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal if he does that.
He strikes me as someone who would use the anti-Novak campaign to spur him on. I just get the feeling that that's part of his driving force.
It definitely is. He loves the crowd against him. Let me tell you, he loves playing against the odds and loves the back against the wall mentality. Absolutely. And he will love that situation. And I think having, you know, now Rafa Nadal in a little bit of doubt as well, obviously, with his COVID case recently, it's going to be very, very hard to knock Novak off if he is here. And he is obviously the best player at the Australian Open on Rod Laver Arena. And you know, it's going to be a really hard one to beat in itself. But with back against the wall, and I think the crowd against him, there is no doubt it's going to be a very hard feat to beat Novak Djokovic if he does play.
Of course, we've still got to line a few ducks up, as you mentioned there, with Rafa Nadal, Novak, and of course, give us your prediction. A couple of weeks out from the start, of course, 3 weeks out from the start of the Australian Open on Jan 17. Mark Sifoulis, our guest on Dwayne's World. Mark, just give us your vibe on the men's side of the draw. Maybe the top couple you genuinely think, if all the ducks are lined up, will be significant players and maybe the title holder.
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's a very hard one now with obviously the players below that top three in Novak, Roger and Rafa. I think those players coming through now are probably starting to hit their straps in Daniil Medvedev, Alexander Zverev, Stefanos Tsitsipas are probably the three main contenders that are probably sitting just below Novak. Look, if Novak's at his best, there is no way anyone's going to beat him at his best. But now we can start to see Daniil Medvedev and even Zverev, who's beaten Novak a few times, starting to come through and show that they probably sit at that level where they probably can challenge these top guys at the top level. So, you know, my big tip, I think, is going to be Zverev. I think he's starting to hit form now. I think he's starting to mature as a player. He's got ahead of the yips, which he had on his server a little while back. And he's the one that's beaten Novak a few times now and probably has that little bit of an edge on him. But over five sets, you know, it's a real challenge to beat Novak. But Zverev is probably my tip at this stage.
Okay, there's the tip for Mark Tsouvalos. Now, if there's an Australian who can work their way through, of course, it's all draw relevant, and we've got to find out how the draw looks. If there's an Australian male who you think can have a bit of an impact and maybe advance their way through to the second week, who would that be?
And that's a good question. We always look at the Aussies, and at this stage, I mean, when Nick Kyrgios comes out and says that he's not really in it to win slams, and you've got a guy like Bernard Tomic with all the talent in the world coming back out of nowhere, we really don't have that real title contender. You know, Alex de Minaur, our number one player, is probably the best suited to probably this surface. But, I mean, Nick Kyrgios is probably the trump card. I mean, he could beat anyone, but obviously he could lose to anyone at the same time. So, you know, Kyrgios is probably the wild card in our corner. De Minaur is probably the most consistent Australian player we've got. So out of those two players, you'd love to see one of them at least get through to the second week. But it's not looking too good on the Australian side of things.
No, certainly not. Let's turn to our attention to the women's. And, of course, Sam Stosur has been to the Australian Open many, many times. In fact, this will be her 20th Australian Open after announced she got a main draw wildcard for the slam, along with Daria Saville, Storm Sanders and Madison Inglis. It's great that Sam's still putting in, and she prepares like no other. She's as fit as a Mallee bull. Obviously, her best days are long gone behind her, but we still cheer for Sam Stosur, don't we? It's good to see her there again.
Oh, absolutely. She's been an absolute superstar for Australian tennis and was probably pivotal in bringing players through like Ash Barty and the like. I think it's really important for us to see Sam Stosur off. I think this may be her last Australian Open. It's really important for the Australian public to get behind her, and obviously, for what she's done, winning a US Open isn't a small feat either. So she's had a great career, great doubles career, which she still continues to play. But great to see her get a wild card and join the likes of Ash Barty, Alia Tomljanovic and Astra Sharma in that main draw alongside those wild card recipients that you've just mentioned earlier.
What's your vibe on Ash Barty? Hasn't played for a little while. Obviously got engaged, which is fantastic on a personal point of view. Unsure about her preparation, but one would imagine once she crosses onto the court, she's going to give it her all. What's your vibe on the women's side of the draw, and where do you think Ash Barty can end up?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, Ash is you know, one of those competitors that, like you said, when she crosses that white line, anything is possible. She's an amazing competitor, has the all-round game to be able to beat all kinds of players, can contribute with a slice, the volley, obviously has a great serve. She's going to be a really hard player to beat regardless of her lead-up to the event. I still really like also Alia Tomljanovic. I know she's coming through now. She's a fantastic player. Been around for a little while. She's starting to hit her straps a little bit now and starting to find her form. And she's a really good chance to make the second week. I feel she's ranked 45 in the world at the moment, has had a good back end of the year. I feel like she's starting to hit her form as well. So both Barty and Tomljanovic, really good hopes on the women's side of the draw, and hopefully can get Australia to that second week of the tournament.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So, Zverev for the men's side, if you were making a prediction and it's not an Australian on the women's side, who are you tipping?
Oh, yes, that's a really good one. I like Arina Sabalenka. I think she's got the game to go to another level. 23 years of age, number two in the world, big serve, big game. If it's hot in Melbourne and Arena's serving really well, it could be a really, really hard one to beat. So Sabalenka is a really good bet. I've also got some friends in her corner, so I do, we're probably a little bit biased towards her, but I feel like she's got the game to be able to take it to the next level.
I saw with interest too that the Hawkeye technology and all the outside courts, of course, so basically Lions people are done at the Australian Open and in a couple of the tournaments in the lead up as well. Of course, I think they don't use it at the French. I think Wimbledon uses it a limited basis as well, a bit of technology. But the Australian Open, well, they've moved, well, dare I say it, to the modern world of adjudication in tennis.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? They do have tried it for a few years now at the end of year finals, and obviously has played a really big role in reducing the amount of people that are on court, which is obviously a big thing as well for TVs, for cameras and so forth, and also for the players in terms of their comfort around the court. So they are reducing the amount of people around the courts, and this is one way to do it. There must be too much money in tennis, I reckon, because I think this is it's about $100,000 per court for a Hawkeye system. So there is plenty of money drifting around the tennis circuit these days, and obviously leading with the new technology, we may as well go with it.
Yeah, very much so. And what it does do also is I think it minimises the challenges coming from players as well, because it's very hard to challenge the technology side of things. They don't often get it wrong, Hawkeye, apparently. So that's just the way it's all been planned. Hey, appreciate your time, Mark. Fantastic insight into the Australian Open. You'll be champing at the bit. Let's hope you're fully recovered by then. So Jan 17, what sort of role do you take during the Australian Open?
Oh, well, this year is probably the first year in 20 that I haven't had a player in the main draw. So I'm going to sit back, I'm going to enjoy it, I'm going to watch it, and watch from afar and watch a few friends in action as well and really support them. So it'll be a nice year to sit back and enjoy a couple of beers while I watch the tennis.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Well, you have a resting time of it on Christmas Day tomorrow and through the new year. Enjoy the tennis. And then, of course, before that, probably the Boxing Day test as well. Appreciate your time. Have a Merry Christmas to you and your family, and recover well from your surgery.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners on SEN, and looking forward to a good Australian Open.
Absolutely. Mark Sofoulis giving us his insight. He's a high-performance tennis coach. He knows all about it, and as he mentioned, has coached many players who have gone through the Australian Open and many other tournaments as well. So he knows his stuff, and it's great to have him on Dwayne's World. We're going to break away. Don't forget, 1-300-736-736, thanks to Werribee Kia, or you can text away on the Temper Text Machine, 0433 98 11 16.